Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Majewski dribbles to the front court to Richard. Richard fires away. Another three ball for Will Richard.
My goodness.
Career high 28 points. And this is a two-possession game right now.
Dub Nation, this is Will Richard, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. You're listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Crossover, welcome in Willard and Dibs. What's up, guys?
How the are fellas?
You? Yo, yo,
Jack's
yo.
Restaurant and bar.
Well, first of all, it's amazing out here. Turns out the French dip does change your life. So I hope I sound like a changed man. Secondly, I always love these when we're on remote and we get to, because this is the first time we get to see you when you pop up on the screen. So, Steiny, you already have your jacket on. That's a little concerning. Guru, you're pretty in pink.
You
look ready to rock today.
Molly Ringwald, one of my favorite movies of all
time. That's a damn four.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Let's go.
Yeah.
You're going to love it out here, guys. You're going to love it out here. The vibes are immaculate. And the food is delicious.
Oh, look at my guys. Okay.
Yeah, the weather is perfect.
Yep.
We're sort of got an inside-outside thing going on. You guys are going to love it when you get out here.
I can't wait. You know, I know what to expect when I come to these events. What's the is it reasonably priced? Is it affordable or is it
for
more,
you it is.
Or is it more upscale knowing that I'll have to break out my own money?
Steiny, I mean, go ahead and like take a playoff and let me set the scene for you in terms of like if we weren't here doing what we do, the patio is phenomenal. There's probably 100 seats on the patio. There's 200 inside. There's a balcony. There's a brewery. There's multiple fountains. The ambiance, if I may, and you did a little bit of a pied de terre earlier, so I'm going to go ahead and up your one French with my own French. The ambiance is phenomenal. It's very reasonably priced, and the vibes are like, yeah, come early, come often, and I'm going to say this for anybody who isn't here today but wants to come here. Three words. Breakfast till 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
Breakfast till 2.
That really hit you in the happy spot today.
I'm about to have a second breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Do I need my shades,
I'm
fellas? Do I need my shades?
You don't need them, but you'll wear them because we know who you are.
That's a weird question coming from you, Guru.
I mean, you wear them indoors.
Will I see the sun? Not Donovan and Daryl, but will I see the sun?
You wear your shades to the confessional, so let's be real here, dude. Let's be real.
You know what, man? I'm just... We're having a good show, I think. Aren't we, partner?
wouldn't you say?
Yeah, sure.
So because, I don't know if you heard this morning. I don't want to break. But seriously, I'm being real. I don't want to bring the party down, but I mean what I'm about to say. I don't know if you heard the news out of Dallas, but their defensive player, Marshawn Nealand, committed suicide. God. That's never the answer. And I just want to tell you guys, if you ever need someone to talk to, just reach out. I'm here for you, brother, because I love you guys. And that's for all the listeners and everybody going through something in the world. But we never know, Dibs, what people are dealing with.
No, and Goo, I'm so glad you brought that up, not because we're having a great party and it's super fun, but I actually saw that this morning, and I had like a 10-minute period of reflection where it was like, and, you know, I didn't really know the player, not personally, but in general, and then you look at what he did. He just had a blocked punt touchdown, and then here we are whatever days later, and, I mean, this is the way that that went, and so, yeah, what you're saying is absolutely true. And so, like, you know, for me and you and Mark and Steiny and Joe and Joe and everybody, like, if you need a call, make the call. I'll take the call. And for everybody else out there, like, reach out to somebody and, you know, do the things, because that actually hit me really hard today, Mark.
Well, and I love the phrase that you just used, Guru. Never the answer. I hope everybody just takes that to heart. And you don't. I know you don't mean that in some sort of an accusatory sort of a way, but just like, yeah, it's never the answer. No matter what, that is never, ever, ever the answer. So I'm glad you brought it up too, man.
I'm here for you. I love you too, Steiny.
Appreciate it, Guru.
Yep.
All right, Steiny, here's where you, as a real radio host, this is where you have the ability to pivot instead of a,
Kevin McHale, he's got
the ball. All eyes on you, Steinmetz. It's still your show. All right, Steiny, we go from a tragedy in Dallas to here is Matt Steinmetz.
Big transition.
Well, keep in mind, I did it at 10:05 because he made a point to do that at 2:05. At 10:05, but I appreciate it.
I mean, that was then. This is now.
Yeah, do it again, Matt Steiny. For those of us who weren't listening at 10:05,
I love you guys.
Okay, Guru, appreciate that from the bottom of my heart, very sincerely. And Warriors got waxed last night.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
a two. It's a two.
I'm gonna give them a one. That's one and a half.
They really didn't get waxed. And honestly, I mean, if you want, let's just cut right to the chase. Let's put the rat on the table.
Although, to you by Echo.
Yeah, we're in a restaurant, so we don't put rats on the table here at Jack's restaurant.
Not on his tables. I mean,
the health department would be here in a second. But the Kuminga shot. Like, did you want him to pull the three?
Yes. That's what we've been yearning for.
He got himself into the painted area. It was a makeable.
You can see the little bubbles over his head. I missed the last couple. But Willard, that was his moment. Hey, you can hit the side of the backboard, but you were supposed to take it. Basketball's a game of rhythm.
And I thought he was supposed to take it. He's wrong because you're wrong. If he would have gotten in the key and made the two, and you're down one with 27 seconds left.
And you're down one with 20 seconds left.
Yes, but it's a two-possession game. It would have been better.
How do we end the show? How do we end the damn show at 6 o'clock
and
every night?
He did that thing.
No, he didn't.
We end the show with, "Hey, Grandy, what are you doing?"
No, we don't.
Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
He shot his shot. When the NBA,
Come on, you guys.
Down by three and you are inside of the shot clock.
Talk to me.
They were not.
4 seconds.
They were not inside the shot clock.
Yes, you were.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not. You just said there were 20 seconds left.
27 seconds left.
When you are at that point in the game, when you get a look like that, you take it.
Man.
Period.
Know that.
Period. You don't know when you're going to get another look, and you also don't know that the Kings aren't going to go to the other end and hit a three and put you down four. And then the last part of it is, if you're going to get that shot in the paint, make it. Make it. Or take it all the way to the front rim once your guy falls down. You can't take the ball. Kuminga's the one thing left that and Steve Kerr has talked about this a number of times. His fallback when he seems to sort of be in an uncomfortable position is to drive into the middle of the paint and do a turnaround fall away.
No doubt.
It doesn't work. Yeah. It's not a good shot for him. It's a mid-range fall away contested shot. It's low percentage. It's what, quite frankly, has gone away in the NBA. Get to the rim, shoot your three. That thing was open. He made a poor decision on what was an otherwise good night.
I'm steadfastly and staunchly with dibs on this one.
Yeah. I mean,
shocker.
I mean, just more mature basketball heads as opposed to these early 50s whippersnappers. And,
we don't know. In a situation like that.
So now we all want Steiny. We all want Kuminga to shoot the three.
I got a question for you.
In a situation like that. We don't like. He may not have handled the ball right.
Yeah, he was flustered, and that's why he missed the shot that he ended up taking.
No, I'm talking about
thinking too much.
The one he didn't take, he receives the catch, and the ball's not sitting in his hand like it normally is, and that's an odd hypothetical.
Yeah. I could say that about his drive then, when he didn't realize that his defender fell down, and then he still fell away from the hoop when there was no one in front of him. I mean, we don't know that the ball wasn't perfectly in his hands.
Yeah. Well, he missed the one right before it. Maybe it didn't feel good.
Yeah, I mean, we could maybe all day long. Yeah. Bottom line is,
so the decision wasn't wrong. The decision was made, and it didn't work.
I mean, well, then we're, if you don't look at it that way, then we as radio hosts or fans don't have a right to say anything the day after. The bottom line to me is, he ended up with a wide open look to tie a basketball game, and he didn't take it. And the last thing that everyone's working on with Jonathan Kuminga is decision making. Mm. He is clearly talented. I love the way where his head is at this year. But Steve Kerr will be the first one to say it, and I bet Jonathan to be the second one to say it.
I think that is being overly critical of that particular play.
It's not even criticism.
When he had just missed the three, so I don't know what was going through his head. Secondly, he got a good look, I thought.
At a two.
Exactly.
Yeah, and a fall away. Yeah. A fall away with no defender on him. Well, it's not criticism at all. I mean, you're listening clearly to Greg Cosell too much. Like, if we're going to do sit here after every play and be like, oh, well, I don't know what was going through his head. I don't know if he was feeling under the weather. I don't know if he's thinking about his family. I mean, what are we talking about here? Yeah. He had a good look and he didn't take it.
Mm. Well, it's a good look this year because he's shooting 40%, it wouldn't have been a good look last year when he's shooting 30, right?
It's situational, of course.
And maybe he didn't feel like, we don't know how comfortable he was at that moment.
And you know
I'm
what?
I'm going to borrow that every time someone misses a three for the rest of the year. I don't know if he was in a good mood
or comfortable.
He might have been in a bad mood.
You know what, guys?
Sweaty palm.
What they should have done is they should have kicked it out to Al Horford to shoot a three.
That's right.
Al Horford was on the bench because he was 0-for-8, and he can't make a three. So you've got Kuminga with a bunch of young pups, and you're going to go ahead and criticize him for trying to be aggressive and take a shot? That's what you're doing.
No,
he should have shot the three.
That's not criticism.
Warrior basketball is a staple of comebacks like that, and three-pointers that we've seen so many times. And he could have missed it, and I wouldn't have been mad. But, Dibs, I don't got to tell you, it's a game of rhythm. The game was right there, and it was saying anybody in a Warrior uniform shoot a three, I felt like it's going in. And he thought about it, and he was thinking too much, and he bypassed.
Well, he had no rhythm.
You're assuming he had rhythm when he caught the ball.
He had no rhythm. He was 1-for-5 in the fourth quarter up to that point. His second half was rhythmless. He was not Janet Jackson.
No,
it was not
rhythmation. In a crazy way, I thought – the shot he ended up getting was in rhythm.
I thought he missed that because he was mentally fried because he was thinking too much. But it ain't about what you've done for me lately. It's about you got a shot, take it. And how many times do we see guys struggling to hit a shot? I was just hoping Willard he took the shot, and he did.
Well, we got another 2 hours to talk about it down the road, guys. And we'll talk about it on 95.7 The Game. See you soon. Willard, can you do the legal? You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM,
and
HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Mm-hmm.
Now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Late.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys.
Stay cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Wow, it's a big day. It is a big day. There is so much happening. We immediately welcome you in live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill, the wonderful host for Warriors Summit 2025. Yes, give yourselves a round of applause if you are early arrivers. Look at you. Look at you. And a lot of you got gear on. We got a gentleman with a Vibe It Out shirt on already.
Oh, I love
it. That phrase is only 6 days old. You already got the shirt on, rocking it. I love it. Absolutely. As we said, immaculate vibes. Jack's Restaurant Bar. I can already tell this is going to be the hostess with the mostest of everywhere we've been. The food is fantastic. The people are smiling. The weather is beaming.
Spectacular.
Let's do today.
And if you're not here yet, you need to get here because, as you mentioned, the vibes are phenomenal. The weather is perfect. The patio, there are still a few seats available. The food, you had the French dip. And I do want you to give the official dip review. And you actually texted me on your way and you said, hey, we're just a little bit behind. Can you order? I ordered. Pow, it was there. The service was phenomenal. And I saw you over there doing your dip, dip, dip. And I don't know if I've ever seen you so happy.
No, Nahigian already asked me for a review between 1 and 10, and I did two things. One, I held up these two fingers.
That's 11.
Both of my pointer fingers. Yeah. So, A, that was an 11. But the reason I held up my fingers is, like, I'm not talking right now. I'm eating. There's French dip in my face.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to use sign language.
We'll go ahead and clip that.
Yeah, it was an 11 out of 10. So, anyway, come on down. You can experience it yourself. The guys are on their way down, too. Spadoni, Shasky, Steiny, clearly against his will, as is everything in life, and Guru, all on their way, 4 to 6, the Warriors Summit. We have all kinds of great stuff prepared for you, and we'll have a good time. Now, to let you know also, Steve Kerr, with his weekly appearance on Willard and Dibs, is coming up in 27 minutes.
Ooh.
The team is about to be on their way to Denver. Reaction from last night with the baby Dubs and the loss in Sacramento. We're going to have that for you. We also have a special guest coming by in the 3 o'clock hour. Matt Nahigian, like, went ahead and just gave it away on his social media last night.
Yeah.
But the good news is nobody follows Matt Nahigian on social media. So most of you still don't know who's coming.
None of you have a look.
My only clue is he's tall.
Oh.
He is very, very tall.
Okay. I love it.
And he's going to be coming on by.
Bonte Hill, coming on.
But he's tall. This person is very tall.
Bonte goes about 6'5" now.
North of Bonte.
Okay.
North of Bonte. So anyway.
Kalena Azubuki.
Keep going.
Taller than Kalena Azubuki.
So anyway, we're going to have a great day.
Okay.
You can tell we're already excited for everything that is about to unfold, and we appreciate you here. We appreciate you listening. If you want to be here and you can't make it, we get it on a Thursday afternoon, but if you can get over here, we really think that you'll have a good time and won't regret it. So, Willard and Dibs until 4 o'clock. What'd you think last night? Because the first thing that comes to mind before we get back to arguing over whether or not Jonathan did the right thing or the wrong thing at the end, I actually came out of most of the evening. Yes, they lost. Yes, they were leading for a good portion, certainly the first half. But there was some sort of a dynamic that I haven't seen in a long time, which was, I guess you could call it the depth of the Warriors, or somewhere in there, there was an excitement about what's coming in the long-term future. Like, this is the first baby Dubs game I've seen where the Warriors look like they kind of have a future core, potentially, that you can start to think about. And I say that because Moody looks better, and because your boy, Your boy Will Richard is a freaking baller.
Yeah, sorry, Guru, but and I agreed with Guru that I'm not going to claim him anymore because Will Richard is obviously his own person.
He is his own.
And I don't need to tug a war with Guru over who had him first, boo-boo-boo. All I know is I met him in Summer League. I've actually interviewed him twice now. I've almost had as many interviews with him as he's had games, but when I met him the first time, I thought, oh my goodness, this dude is real. And the reason why is because he has played 140 college games. And it made me think about Brock Purdy in a weird way. Brock Purdy was able to come in and be better than his draft spot because he played 60 games in college. And I can never stop thinking about Mitchell Trubisky, who played 1 year at North Carolina, and Chicago traded up, and the Niners traded back, and Chicago traded for Trubisky. All the tools, the dude played 1 year. And Trey Lance 1 year.
I was going to say,
James Wiseman,
example.
3 games.
Yep.
Jonathan Kuminga played 1 year-ish in the G League Ignite, and it took him some time. So my point about Will Richard is he came in as a seasoned national champion. He played 40 games last year in college.
Well, I wonder if it's not going to kind of change the narrative, though, because it's almost like it's not a badge of honor anymore when you play a ton of college basketball.
Right?
The league sort of feels like they've moved on from you. And let's be real, the only reason you play 3 or 4 years of college basketball is because your pro prospects aren't that good after 1 or 2 years. That means the draft and the league are telling you, yeah, you're probably not going to go. And then the league moves on and forgets about you. But now we're sitting here using it as a reason for somebody being able to hit the ground running when they get to the league. And it's like, well, then why aren't you all doing this? Why aren't you all exclusively doing this in the second round of the draft? This guy's the 57th pick in the draft, and he's now have one start. And in his starts, he's averaging 30 per game. Like, who else in the rookie class can function like that or do that, hit the ground running in that sort of a way? So I don't know. Maybe we ought to be looking a little bit longer at players who have a lot of college games under their belt.
It depends on what you really want to look at and what you want that player to be. And I'm thinking about Cooper Flagg, who's played all 8 games, and he's averaging 14 and almost 7-3, and they're terrible. Dallas can't win.
Yep.
And so, yeah, Cooper Flagg is coming in, and Cade Cunningham, another great example, a guy who was great in college, and he went to a bad team. And even think about the 7'5" Frenchman, which actually works now, Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wemby came in, and, yeah, they were kind of terrible, and he has slowly kind of grown into it, and even, like, Chet Holmgren, who played, and then he got hurt and all the rest of it. So if you are going to be a seasoned pro on a good team, you can come in and make an impact more quickly.
Yeah, so that's sort of what I came out of last. Like, put it this way, I enjoyed watching them last night.
I did, too.
And then it got to the end.
What a buzzkill.
Well, then it got to the end. And you have to start sort of reasoning and rationalizing with the whole thing because it was turnovers. It was turnovers down the stretch. And I think even the stat that was running around on TV, I think, is a little overblown, the whole points off turnovers thing. Because if you want to do a deeper dive into the turnovers, I think the Kings only had 10 points off of steals. There are a lot of turnovers. Like if somebody travels, for example,
Kuminga,
it's like I'm not going to call that a point off turnover. You take the ball out of bounds. Our defense is set. You just happen to score on the next one. I look more at specific turnovers. And down the stretch of that basketball game, when it was still very close, I know the Warriors were trailing, but it was 3 points down, 4 points down, 5 points down. Then they would catch up. Key moments in that fourth quarter, you had people just throwing the ball all over the place. Pods had a terrible pass. Kuminga had a rough turnover as well. They weren't the only ones, you know. And so we have fun with it when they're the baby dubs. And then at the end of the game, they look like the baby dubs.
Well, and at the end of the game, the grown men took over, including your favorite player.
I can't stand
23.
Him. I can't stand
16.
Him.
And 10, including one, and that was right in your face, Russell Westbrook, with the tip back. He was bouncier at 36. He was quicker. He got the O rebound, the put back, and then the big old growl. And as I was watching that, I'm thinking, oh, my God, if Willard's watching this, he might be.
I can't stand him.
You might be vomiting.
I can't stand
Russell,
him.
Russell flipping Westbrook. I mean, you got to put some respect on his game.
Oh, there's always. I mean, I don't got to.
No, you don't got to do anything.
No,
anything.
No, I mean,
he took that game over.
He's a great player. Like, the guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. It's never about that. It's never some sort of a diatribe on who they are as a player. I just don't enjoy watching him. I told you that years ago, this also stems from him, and I wasn't even a host at this point, but 1,000 years ago, when I was working at ESPN in Los Angeles, he came in studio to a different show. Mm. He was an awful,
thank you, Grandy.
He was an awful person to everybody there. Like, literally did an interview where he didn't look up from his phone.
Oh.
I don't like it when people are like that to other people.
Yeah.
And so that started the whole process. But then you get through, put some respect on his. I would actually argue you have to put, at times, some disrespect on his game. Not last night, but last year in Denver, this is a guy who consistently made horrible decisions at major moments, at times in playoff games. And so he's the type then who would come to the press conference after all of those things, and he would explain it away, and he would blow it off, and he's had the interactions with fans the last few years. I don't enjoy the man. I don't enjoy watching him play. I don't enjoy the way he reacts to fans, to teammates, to opposing players. It's funny that you would say put some respect on Russell Westbrook's name. I think that he has done a lot to disrespect a lot of the people around him everywhere he's ever been.
Yeah.
My take.
Not last night. I mean,
it's just a basketball game.
Last night, that game was in the balance, and the Baby Dubs were spitting up all over themselves, as babies do, with the bib on, goo goo gaga. They had an 11-point lead, and they gave it up. And then Russ took over, and also Dennis Schroeder revenge game. Schroeder came through with a couple of big plays late, and I hated to watch it. So you're talking about, like, oh, we watched it, and, it was kind of fun, and then it got not to be very fun. And the reason why it wasn't very fun is because Russ and Schroeder and the young pups, they weren't quite ready. And so, yeah, the Warriors, you're 5-4. And, Grandy, I don't know if you can do the projection now about your over 48.5, but I'm guessing that they're not on pace to win more than 48.5.
Well, we joked yesterday that we knew.
No, he joked. He tried to put that in my face.
We said that if they lost last night, the math wouldn't necessarily. I mean, we're doing math after 9 games.
It's suddenly now Grandy's in the restroom.
Nobody,
I get that.
No, nobody is worried about this team.
I'm not worried, but yesterday Grandy did the, what's the pace now? Mm-hmm. So I'm putting it back on him. What's the pace now, Captain 48.5, easy money?
You need to calm down.
No, I don't need to
calm down.
I need to calm up.
You need to calm down, dude. You need to calm down. You need to stop taking things so personally from him.
It's not personal.
You're making it personal. He thinks they're going to win 49 games. So
he
do
said
I.
Why don't we
ask the audience?
Easy money was the phrase.
Y'all think the Warriors are going to win 49 or more games this year? Round of applause. All right, who thinks they're winning 48 or less? There you go, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
Here you go.
And that's a good, fair audience. Sure.
Who's Grandy? The guy literally hosts the pre and post for the Warriors.
Right.
Why is he not allowed to be a fan, too?
He's allowed to do whatever he wants. But when he comes at me yesterday with, oh, they're on pace for 51, I'm also allowed to, the next morning,
You've used up your French thing.
And say, oh, where are you at now, Grandy? And now all of a sudden he's Marcel Marceau.
He's in the same place he's always been.
Another French reference.
Yeah, he's in the same place that he's always been, as all of us are.
Mute.
I mean, I'll ask you, like, are you? Is that basically what you're saying right now? You worried about this team?
I'm definitely worried.
You are?
I've been worried.
Why?
Yes, because you've got an older team that is not going to play every game. And when they don't all play, they are not as good of a team as, I don't know, maybe half the conference or a third of the conference.
Haven't we learned this over and over and over again?
You're going to Denver tomorrow. No Steph.
Right.
What do you think?
I think they'll probably lose, and then they'll be 5-5, 10 games into the year.
Right.
They were under 500 at the trade deadline last year.
On pace for 41-41 if they lose
tomorrow.
Yeah,
and they still won 48 games.
Yep.
I don't care what their pace is 10 games in.
Oh.
Who cares? Why would we even talk about that right now? Like, this journey needs to unfold. It's got a long way to go in 1,000 different twists and turns. I am less activated by their record right now, and I'm much more interested in the pieces that we see, whether you think they fit, what is sort of the ceiling for the group. Steve Kerr is going to join us in 15 minutes. I guarantee you're going to hear the word turnovers a lot. I promise you, you're going to hear the word turnovers a lot. This team can't play like this and win 49 games, but I don't think they're going to play like this all of the time. Now, as far as injuries that may or may not occur, I can't tell you that they won't. I can't promise you that they will. I know everyone loves to say that, oh, because they're older, they'll definitely have injuries. Not necessarily. And you know what? Look at Kuminga last year. 22-year-olds can get hurt. So I have no idea the way that's going to go. But when I look at the team and I watch them actually play basketball, they're very, very good. They have a lot of the pieces. It needs to be fine-tuned. They need to figure out their rotations. Happens at the beginning of every year. But this team has so much depth, way more than they had last year and in recent years. And that's what excited me about last night. To have three, some would say even four young players kind of perform, at least statistically, the way they did last night, creates one of those interesting problems to have going forward as far as their lineup.
Yeah, in loss.
Yeah, so what?
So
they didn't play their best three players. They lost a close game in the ninth game of the year.
So your
I'm not going to overreact to that.
I'm not overreacting. I'm just pointing out, and you can applaud their depth, and I do too, but when you've got a game again coming up tomorrow, and Steph Curry, I believe, won't play, and Steve Kerr will either confirm or deny that coming up when we talk to him in moments, but I believe that if you go to Denver without Steph Curry and you beat Denver here with Steph Curry, and Steph was amazing and he hit, you know, the night shot and all the rest of it, and you had to go to overtime to beat Denver, you're probably in a little bit of trouble against Denver.
No doubt.
I look at the schedule upcoming, and you've got a 6-game road trip, and you know Steph's not feeling great, and Jimmy's got a bad back, and Draymond couldn't play last night, and Guru was joking that it was a rib, not ribs, but a rib, whatever it was.
It was nothing. It was an opportunity to sit him out.
Whatever it was, you're looking at a schedule where you're going to have these guys sit a lot of games, and I don't have a tremendous amount of faith in them winning a lot of games without those three in the lineup.
On
That's
Wednesday,
all.
November 19th, we might go to bed, and the Warriors might be under 500. There's no, like, that's real. That's real. They might be.
They might be on Wednesday, November 12th. They might be.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about
the
whole
14th.
I picked the 19th because that's the end of the road trip that you referenced.
Yep.
And yes, it's very hard. Like, they will be a huge underdog tomorrow. And so let's say they lose that. They fall to 5-5. Then you look at those next seven games, a home game to Indiana, and that road trip, which takes you to OKC, San Antonio twice, Orlando, Miami. You got a New Orleans there squeezed in between. Say hi to all the former Warriors there. But could they be under 500 after that? Sure, they could. But I don't think that is I don't think that that's any sort of a decisive look at who they're going to be come the end. Like, this thing always kind of goes month to month, does it not?
It does.
Like, I mean, this is, we'll feel differently by the end of the holidays than we do now. This thing is still taking shape.
But as we look at when they've been successful, they've banked wins early, and
sure,
they haven't had to chase. Last year, you had to chase it, and you had to go 7 with Houston, and then Jimmy got hurt, Steph got hurt, season over. So I think that the blueprint for an older team is to not have to chase it. It's to bank it early. The schedule does not allow you to bank it early, and that's why I look at last night. That's a game you should win. You would win if you had everybody. And the Indiana game, you had no business losing that.
That's true.
Milwaukee without Giannis, you had no business losing that. So these are games that you should have banked. You didn't bank. And now you're already in a spot where, okay, you might be 5-5 after tomorrow. I'm not saying that you need to, like, go out and start making hay, but this is not the blueprint. That's all I'm saying.
But, I mean, again, there's a couple games. I've never experienced watching one of my favorite teams play and at the end of the year not feel like, dude, you blew a few. We feel that way every year with the Warriors. I'm not even discounting your point. I get it. Everything you just said, I accept. I guess what I'm saying is my first takeaway from watching last night is an excitement to the level of you see what Kuminga at least has the ability to do. You see what Moses Moody has the ability to do. That guy looks like a much better player. And we got 35 more minutes of getting to know what Will Richard can do. And I know that everybody was a little all over the place with their Brandon Pajemski review last night. Some people were like, God, he was terrible. And others were like, he was a rebound and assist away from a triple-double.
Right.
So, like, That's just going to be the Pods experience. A lot of people love him. A lot of people don't like him. Somewhere in between, whatever. But that's four players who went out there and really led the way in a game in a way where I think at least on an individual basis, you can say, oh, I can sort of see a young core kind of coming together,
yeah, no
at
doubt.
Least early stages for the Warriors. For me, that was takeaway one. I get that the loss was a bummer.
Sure. For me, takeaway one is always the result. And, you know, your process, I'm
yep.
result.
Yep.
And the result was you lost, and you lost a game. You were up 11, and that's not great. And takeaway number two, and I said it before the year started, and nobody wants to hear about it because we love him. He's a veteran. You and I met watching him play in the Final Four.
That's true. As a college player.
Al Horford, he does not look like the Al Horford of 3 years ago. And if you want to look at his percentages year over year, Al Horford 3 years ago, wow, north of 40. Then, north of 35. North of 30. And now, my God, Al, can you please do me a favor? I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. Shout out Paul Simon.
Stop shooting! Stop playing and stop shooting. Well, stop playing.
He can't shoot.
That's up to Steve. No, yes, he can.
He's allowed to.
Yeah. I mean, no, don't stop because you had a bad couple of nights. Yeah. Al Horford, again, he's also chipped in with 7 rebounds. I mean, he's going to be out there. You need Al Horford to play some minutes. You need Al Horford to play. You don't have any other centers that have any defensive and rebounding experience. I'm not just handing this gig to Quentin Post and Trayce Jackson-Davis, are you? You're just going to hand him the gig and that's it?
I mean, when Draymond's back, sure. I mean, you can have Al come in there and shoot and play a little bit, but 3 for 18 the last 3 games, 4 for 23.
Yeah, he's been bad.
Like, really bad. And if you watch him play, and I know you do, and I'm not going to imply that you don't watch every single dribble because you're a junkie and all you do is watch sports, but he looks like a cardboard cutout. He looks stiff.
I had a different player.
He looks stiff.
Well, he's 39. He probably is. He's 39.
Well, then you can't play him if he's out there like,
he's always been an awkward looking.
He looks even stiffer.
There was a different player last night who caught my eye and got a lot of my, like, what are you doings that I would yell
in
from the couch.
In a negative way.
Yes,
I love it.
Absolutely.
I love when you go negative.
Well, this is a hard guy to come at in a negative way.
Oh, boy.
It's hard. I don't really want to do. I don't enjoy this.
I know where you're going.
He's the little engine that could.
Number 61 in your program. Number 1 in your heart.
Turns out he's the little engine that can't.
Oh shoot.
I don't know.
I'm a 4 right there.
I don't know why Pat Spencer thinks that he can do the things that he thinks he can do.
He's got the ha ha.
He can't do those things. It's like, dude, you're a good story. You're not supposed to start taking 6-7 guys off the dribble and drive into the lane.
That's a lot.
And try to shimmy it up with, dude, stop. Grab the ball, pass the ball to the next guy. If the shot's wide open, shoot your shot. It's all you got. But Pat Spencer right now, for me, if we're going to see games like this, and I know we will, where he's going to have a role like this, you got to get a better sense of your limitations. That would be my suggestion for Pat.
I think they need to let Pat cook.
No, you don't.
Minus 19 in 17
minutes. Let Jack's cook, because they can cook here at Jack's Restaurant and Bar.
The French tip was an 11 out of 10.
It was.
And I know we don't do plus minus in a small sample, but he was a minus 19. But watching the game, I thought that he was a minus 75.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and I love Pat. No one loves Pat more than me and maybe his brother and his family. I don't know them that well, but I want Pat to do well so badly.
So do I.
But watching him out there, it's like, oh, my God, you look like a college lacrosse player.
Yeah. I mean, he'll do things.
He will.
Like, I get that he can do things that when you look at him, he shouldn't be able to do. But I also think you can't do what he thinks he can do. And that's my concern, is when you look at it, I'm like, Pat, there are half your plays where you look at him and the result is exactly what you think when you walk in the room. And when you walk in the room, Pat, you're like, that's not an NBA player.
No.
But he's got a jersey and shoes. So if he's going to have a jersey and shoes, he's got to know his limitations.
Well,
better.
Unfortunately, when you have a team that has no first stringers, or three of your guys are out, your third stringers become your second stringers, and that is Pat, and it's TJD, and it's, hi, this is Guy Santos. All these guys are playing more than they actually should be playing because you don't have a first team. So your second team becomes your first team, your third team becomes your second team, and you lose to the Adorables, and they light the beam right in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, you seem to enjoy it. What's with the Russell Westbrook and the Kings, and then you enjoy it?
I like Russell Westbrook more than you
hate him. Why do you enjoy it?
Because he goes out there, and no matter what team he's on, which has been seven teams, the dude plays hard.
You're supposed to be bothered when the beam gets lit, when the Warriors are in town.
I'm bothered by the beam, but I love the way Russell Westbrook attacks the game of basketball. He plays basketball like it matters. Do you think that Draymond Green, if Draymond Green had that passion for the game, he would have played last night.
Oh, stop. Don't say that.
Facts.
That's not facts. Boy, you are in troll mode today.
Not at all.
You are in troll mode today.
He and I are going to be aligned like Wonder Twins.
I might sit the summit out and let you two just do your thing.
You won't.
I might. The kickoff show this Sunday with Hall of Fame nominee Lo Neal and Evan Giddings starts at 11 a.m. live from Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale. You ought to go check it out. It is beautiful. All the early games will be on. Food, drinks, absolutely on point. Games in the parking lot. And if you're going to go to the game, there's a free shuttle for you from Laughing Monk to the stadium and back. And yes, I said free. You can sign up for that shuttle right now at 957thegame.com. It is first come, first serve. The spots will go quickly. So go sign up now, 957thegame.com, free shuttle from Laughing Monk to and from the 49er game. It is Summit Day at Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. Don't let that crowd fool you. It is big, but there are still open seats, so keep making your way down. We'll save one for Spadoni, Shasky, Steiny, and Guru. They are on their way, and so is the head coach of the Warriors. Steve Kerr will join us coming up next on a special day here on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Willard and Dibbs continuing here on a very special day here at 95.7 The Game. Obviously, it is our Warriors Summit, and the cool thing is we're doing it nine games into the season, and as a precursor to all the guys showing up, we get to do our regularly scheduled weekly conversation, of course, with the great Steve Kerr. So out to the River Islands guest line we go, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great, and here he is, Coach Kerr. Hey, Coach, what's going on this afternoon?
I'm good. I'm just on my way to the airport, heading for Denver, and excited for our game tomorrow night.
Yeah, this crazy schedule continues, and I just want to throw this out there. I don't want to put you in a position where it sounds like you're complaining, because I get it. Everyone's got a schedule. But I heard, for example, just as an example, Nick Friedell, our Warrior insider, earlier today said in all of his years covering the league, this is maybe one of the worst starts he's ever seen schedule-wise for a team. What is your reaction to that? How can you bring our fans inside what you guys are experiencing so far?
Well, I agree with Nick. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this where we've had so many games in different cities and, you know, no consistent theme to it, you know, back-to-backs. But, you know, we fly to the Midwest for two games and then back for one home game, then back on the road, and then back for a home game. And then it's nuts. When you add it all up, I believe it's, you know, 15 games in 26 days, something like that. And like 10 cities. So it's really, I've never seen anything like it. But it is true. Every single team has to deal with a stretch in the season where it's just really rough. And I kind of like getting it out of the way early. I think we're going to survive this. And the second half of the schedule really lines up a lot better for us, and we'll be in much better shape.
Is that really the message then right now? Because I'm looking at the next eight games. You've got eight in 15 days, and you've got seven road. And as you mentioned, you have at Denver, back home, and then a long road trip. Is that partly the message to the team of, like, let's survive this and we'll be better later?
I haven't really said that to them yet. What I have talked about is, you know, the early part of the season, we're playing a lot of people, obviously. You know, we want to be able to get everybody ramped up to the point where, you know, they can play consistently high minutes. Or, you know, obviously our starters are the ones who need to get to that point. And that's probably been the most difficult part of this stretch. Sometimes you'll get a stretch like this in the middle of the season, but to have so many games at the very beginning of the season when you're not ramped up yet, and that's, it's just kind of surprising that we would have this. But I like our depth. I thought last night our depth showed, you know, we had every chance to win that game without our three best players. And the reason we had an opportunity to do that is because we've got a lot of good players. So we just have to tighten some things up, and I think we're going to be in really good shape going forward.
Yeah, Steve, let's dive into last night a little bit. And first and foremost, just your impressions of the way those young guys went out there and played, and the fact that a few of them, at least offensively, really shined.
Yeah, I mean, I think it showed in the first half how potent we can be when we keep the game simple and we take care of the ball and we run. I mean, that was our fastest paced game of the season by design. You know, without Jimmy, Steph, and Dre, we got to push the ball. But the message is you got to push the ball and get spaced and then make simple decisions, which we did, you know, for most of the first half. And then I thought two turnovers really hurt us. And this is kind of the nature of the game today. Because of the pace, because of the three-point shooting, all it takes is a couple of mistakes that turn into threes at the other end. And especially on the road, the whole game shifts. And so we just have to pound it into these guys' brains over and over again, our whole team, not just the young guys, but everybody, that if we keep turning the ball over like we are right now, we're in trouble. But if we take care of it like we did last year after we got Jimmy Butler, and if we defend without fouling like we did last year when we got Jimmy Butler, then we're going to be really good, 23-7 down the stretch last year. And that's the only thing that changed, honestly, was Jimmy controlled the game because he would take care of the ball and he would get fouled. And we were the ones going to the foul line instead of our opponents. So that's what it comes down to for this team. And we have to get there. We really believe we can get there.
Steve, not to ask you to predict when people are going to be under the weather, but we know you guys have certainly a plan to manage the time and the age of some of your star players. Your best guess, how many kind of last night games do you think you're going to have this year?
I don't think anybody can guess, because we wouldn't have guessed that Steph got sick. You know, he's unlikely to play tomorrow in Denver. He's still pretty sick. But these things happen during the season, whether it's an injury or an illness, whatever it is. I mean, you know, guys miss games. So every year's different. You don't really know what's coming. So that's why you have to rely on your fundamentals and your decision making, and then finding really good lineup combinations, and being able to win some games like last night. You know, I think last year, I'm not mistaken, we were like 7-5 without Steph. You got to do that. You have to be able to find ways to win without your best players. And last night was a great lesson for our young guys. They gave themselves every chance to win because they played hard. They shared the ball. They competed. But we got to be more solid. We cannot turn the ball over with careless decision-making and trying to make plays that aren't there and expect to win.
And that's partly, I think, through experience and all that. But I wonder about Steph Curry. Is he going to be on the flight today to Denver? And will it be kind of a wait-and-see moment whether or not he can be healthy enough to go?
Barring some unforeseen last second change, I don't expect him to be on the flight today. So we don't, he's still sick. You know, we don't need him to get everybody else sick. We don't need him to fly to altitude to Denver for, you know, while he's still trying to get healthy. Now, maybe it bleeds on a few more days. He misses another game. We can't have that happen. And, you know, whether it's an illness or an injury, we've got to be really smart with all of our players so that we navigate the season the right way.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. Steve Kerr here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I want to talk about Will Richard last night and what he showed you. And I know that he's been, you know, possibly ticketed for the G League, and he comes out and he has 30 points. Does that change maybe the organizational plans about where Will will go?
Well, Will fits in perfectly with everything that I'm discussing right now. You know, the turnovers, the decision-making, the spacing, the ability to dribble, pass, and shoot and process. You know, those four things lead to good decision-making as a team, as a group. I can draw a play out of timeout and put Will in any one of the five positions. I can drop a play for him to come off a screen and shoot. I can drop the play for him to handle the ball and make the decision. I can drop the play to have him set a screen. So when you get guys like this that provide really solid play and stability, this is what has made our team go around Steph and Draymond. I've said this to you guys a million times. You know, who are those stabilizers out there in our, you know, in this decade run that we've had? You know, it's Andre Iguodala, it's Sean Livingston, you know, it's David West. It's other, you need them at different positions because Steph and Dre need stability around them to get them organized and to help them navigate the game and to get Steph the ball. So Will Richard fits all those. He checks all those boxes. So, you know, I think the whole team, the whole organization recognizes this, which means everybody's on notice. Take care of the ball because we got people who will do that, and they're ready to step in.
It's interesting, Steve, because Will described to us last week when we sort of asked him how he sees himself in this whole thing, and he described it as like the dirty work, garbage man, lunch pail type stuff, do everything, and maybe he is that, but then he starts and he scores 30, and that doesn't say dirty work, lunch pail to people. That says, whoa, you kind of pop a little bit. So do you think that maybe even from his view, your view, the organizational view, that maybe there's a little bit more going there on the offensive arsenal than you guys thought?
Absolutely. You know, you don't really expect to see this from a guy who was, what, the 57th pick or something. But what we've seen now for, you know, since the start of camp, as I said, dribble, pass, shoot, process, those are the most important things a player can have. And then you put that into a body of a guy who can guard multiple spots and plays with the energy that he does, the intelligence. What a steal. What an incredible pick by Mike Dunleavy and the scouting department. And tell you, when you think about our group the last few years in the draft, what they've been able to accomplish is really impressive.
Last night, J.K. was, you know, kind of asked to be the primary scorer without Steph and Jimmy and Draymond as well. Did you give him a different message going into the game? And what did you think of the way J.K. played as kind of the primary option?
Well, the main message was, you know, without Steph and Dre, he was going to get the ball a lot more. And we initiated a lot of our offense last night with J.K. And I thought he did a great job of creating points for us. And I thought it was also a great lesson for him that there has to be a balance to his game. You know, he had the five turnovers, and, you know, one of them was that key turnover that I mentioned, you know, late second quarter. We had all the momentum. He tried to dribble through his guy when there was nothing there. I think it turned into a dunk at the other end or a three. So, you know, this is all part of the processing of the game and the understanding of what wins and what loses. And this is where he has to make his biggest improvement, is just recognizing, you know, sometimes when you're so talented and you have so many possibilities at your disposal, it makes the game harder because you think you can do anything. And I think most young, talented players have to, kind of go through a process like this where, I know I can do everything, but I really have to make the right play over and over again. And, it took Steph some years to figure that out. And even to this day, Steph does some wild stuff out there. But if the ratio is right, it's the old Manu Ginobili stuff with Pop. Like, Manu was going to do three crazy things every game. But if he did 15 things that counteracted it, the ratio is good enough where you allow that. And that's what I look for with all of our guys is, does the decision-making and the processing allow for us to control the game? That's why Jimmy Butler came in and changed our team last year, because suddenly we were in control of every game. So that's what we have to find as a group. That's what some of our younger players, JK, BP also, he needs to be a low turnover guy. Our younger guys need to learn that. And last night, that's why I really liked last night's game, from that process, that thought. I'd much rather would have won, but it's right there for us, guys. Like, if our decision-making isn't better, we're not going to win the game.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs, as he is every single week on 95.7 The Game. I mean, to that end, Steve, I think you can even hear it in your voice. A lot of the fans feel the same. We look at all this, and I think we see puzzle pieces. We often like the way the group is playing. But then you look at the record, and it's 5-4, and the West is just so damn stacked. It's so kind of daunting to look at. So, especially when you factor in what happened last year, what's the sense of urgency early in the year to kind of set it up so that you guys don't have to chase in the second half?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, we've given a couple games away, for sure, and there's absolutely a focus on that. But you can't just say, hey, we got to get urgent here. There has to be a process that leads to the execution that leads to the wins. And so right now the focus is on the process. Take care of the damn ball, and we can help you with that as coaches with spacing and, our offensive scheming, what we're doing, that's a collaboration. But ultimately, we'll adapt or die. I mean, the league has changed, and everyone's playing with pace and three-point shooting. I would say 7 or 8 years ago, we could turn it over 18 times, and it didn't matter because we were gonna shoot threes and play fast and out-talent people. Now you can play. You can play one of the worst teams in the league, and they will beat you by making 20 threes and playing really fast if you turn it over. And so our entire team needs to understand this message. And obviously, I've given them that message. I'm not sharing it with you guys without sharing it with them. But I want them to hear this, too, on the radio. Like, we have to adapt to what the league is doing right now, and that means take care of the ball. Handle transition at both ends. And if we do that, I love our team. I think we're going to go places.
Yeah, it could be a struggle. And I wonder, Steve, like, how much is this year in the regular season more about, like, fighting for the six as opposed to fighting for the one seed?
Yeah, I mean, I think the unless you're, OKC, everybody in the West is thinking, let's make sure we're in the top six. I mean, I told our team before the season, let's finish in the top four. Let's have a home court advantage in the first round. And so, top six is obviously where everybody wants to end up. Nobody wants to be in the play-in. But I think we're good enough where we should be thinking top four, home court. But we haven't gotten there yet. Schedule's been tough. We haven't settled our rotation yet. We haven't allowed for guys to get, comfortable yet in their roles because the lineups have changed. So we're a little bit scattered right now, but nothing that we can't fix and get on track. So, like I said, I couldn't be more excited about our team and our talent level and our ability to be good, but we have some work to do.
Steve, a couple of individuals I want to ask you about, and one is Al Horford. Right now, with what you're seeing from him, what is the level of concern, if any, with what you're seeing from him so far?
Zero concern, because what I'm watching is the way he's moving. I said this after the game, and I'm sure people laughed, but it was real. It was honest. I thought he played a really good game last night. The ball just didn't go in. All of his shots looked good. I thought every single one of them was going, and none of them went. So he's just in one of those stages right now, and it happens in every sport. You know, baseball player, you know, who the ball's just, you know, coming off his bat hard, but it's going right to people. It's nothing's going Al's way right now, and it doesn't shock me because it is really hard to go to a new team. But I'm watching the way he's moving. Watching his decision making, how smart this guy is. He's going to be just fine. I wouldn't worry about Al.
Well, and then the other guy, and this is the flip side answer, hey, what is this little change that Moses Moody made in his three-point shot? Because maybe everybody should do it. The ball keeps going in. What are you seeing differently from him so far this year?
Well, I think he's getting it off quicker. I think, you know, that's really been our focus the last few years is you know, no hesitation and speeding up the delivery a little bit. His first few years in the league, it just felt like he was taking too long to get the shot off, and he's worked really hard. I think he's better shooting it on the move now, but he's playing with a ton of confidence. You know, he had a rough camp. I mean, he was going to be in our starting lineup to begin the year, for sure. You can see his on-ball defense is the best on the team. I mean, poking the ball away from Devin Booker three or four times, stealing it from him the other night. You just feel Moses' defensive presence, and then he's a great fit, obviously, you know, next to our best players because of the catch and shoot and you know, basically taking care of the ball for the most part. So great to see Moses in a good groove, and we will rely heavily on him going forward.
Steve, one more really important one, and I think this is mainly about accountability. Last night, you referenced the fact that you don't believe that you've coached your 3-6 fantasy team very well.
I'll
share with you here in the 95-7 The Game League. I'm one of these multiple league guys, Steve, but in the 95-7 The Game League, I am 0-9.
0-9.
But Steve,
oh, boy.
I've been blaming my players. So I'd like you to help me, you know, with the whole accountability thing, because I think I've been coaching them up and they just suck.
Yeah, you know, I feel your pain, but 0-9 is virtually impossible. Don't you have to like fall into a win somewhere along the line?
You would think. I'm kind of leaning into it now, and I'm going to see if I could just pull this thing off and goose the whole year, Steve.
I just think, you know, you holding yourself accountable, you know, your guys will read that and they will actually appreciate you for it, and they'll play a little harder for you.
I'll give it a try. Would you talk to them, Steve? Can we set that up?
No, that's your job. You're the coach. You know, that's with being the coach comes a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
No, I mean, can he flip the spread on a fantasy team? I don't even know what that looks like, Steve.
You know, you could also go the angry route, you know, just go into the locker room and start firing footballs everywhere.
Here I've been eating the spread instead of flipping it.
There you go.
It's my bad. All right, Steve, great stuff. We look forward to Denver tomorrow night. We appreciate it as always. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
You too. There it is. Steve Kerr on Willard and Dibs. And we bring it back here to the Summit at Pleasant Hill Jack's Restaurant and Bar. Good stuff from Steve Kerr. But I think if you get newsy for a second, the lead coming out of that is that Steph Curry will not be on the flight to Denver that the Warriors are about to take.
Yeah, I don't normally do the hard-hitting stuff. We usually leave that to you.
You did it well.
I do more, hey, Steve, you know, ankle socks or calf socks, am I right? But today I thought that your question was so good that it led to like, all right, Steve, is he going to be on the flight? Like, if he's on the flight, and I'm too deep in, like, the Niner stuff of, like, will Brock Purdy travel? Is Brock Purdy wearing a boot? Whatever. It's like, if Steph's not on the flight, I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb and say he's not going to play, Mark.
Yeah, no, he has actually been ruled out officially on the injury list. And if you think about what's going on, the guy's sick. The last thing we want is him on the plane
right.
with the Warriors. Because then this thing's going to go through the entire team, and it sounds like it's pretty bad.
Right.
So, yeah, we don't want that. This makes sense for multiple reasons, not just for Steph, but for the whole team.
Right, and we think about, like, life before COVID where you would be sick, but you'd go to work anyway because, you know, that's the right thing to do. You're a tough guy.
Yeah, fight it out.
Post-COVID, it's like, dude, if you're sick, can you please not come in? And so I think that this is part of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right. We are brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, and we are here for so many things, including coming up in our next hour. We'll talk out the situation around this Warrior team a little bit. We'll continue to move. We're now an hour away from the start of the actual summit where Shasky and Spadoni and Steiny and Goo will join us, Willard and Dibs, up here on the stage with all of these great listeners who we've been meeting this afternoon here at Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. And don't forget, special guest who is very, very tall, is going to be here in about 15 to 20 minutes. And I'm thinking he'll probably talk some Warrior basketball with us.
Oh, okay.
He's very, very tall. And so we've got that. I hope you've got your pick ready. It's a Fade the Dibbers day.
Yeah, the pick is in.
The Broncos and Raiders will be playing later on tonight. So don't go anywhere. That is all ahead live. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill for the Summit Warriors 2025. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.